You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
14 straight meetings with the Spurs without a win. Haven't won a game against San Antonio since 2014. 7 straight losses to the Spurs in Sacramento. No problem for these young Sacramento Kings last night as they break all of those streaks. Your young Sacramento Kings are 8-6 on the season. They complete the rough 4-game homestand 2-2 with the 104-99 victory last night inside the Golden 1 Center over the San Antonio Spurs. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all season long. If you're looking for daily updates, interviews, in-depth conversation, and highlights, we have it all right here for you. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage in a podcast format presented to you by the local experts all over the Locked On Podcast Network. What can you expect every single weekday at least 30 minutes a day of Kings news and conversation. You can also branch out and hear NBA-specific topics on the Locked On NBA podcast. If you're a fantasy guy, check out Locked On NBA Fantasy or Locked On NFL Fantasy. If you're a football guy, Locked On NFL, baseball person, Locked On MLB. If you like college sports, there's Locked On College Football and Locked On College Basketball. This is your playground for sports podcasts. Enjoy it. Pick one, love it, or love them all. But I'm glad that you chose the Locked On Kings podcast for your hub if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan. I have the pleasure of being one of those quote-unquote local experts. My name is Matt George from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. I've spent the last 4 years covering the Sacramento Kings, been a Kings fan since I was 6 years old. So I've been rooted in this Kings franchise and in the Sacramento community for quite a long while, and I enjoy interacting and speaking to each and every single one of you loyal, phenomenal, fantastic Kings fans. Even if I disagree with you, this platform is not just for me to talk down to you or to tell you everything that is going on and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. This is a forum for Kings fans to share their opinions, share their highs and their lows, their loves and their hates in regards to this Sacramento Kings team. And the way you can do that is on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I love to interact with you. So please, 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 if you're new, do that. Let me know you are new. And I would absolutely love to say hi. I had a couple of you actually walk by as I was hosting game night last night inside the Golden 1 Center. A couple of you walked by and flashed your phone at me with the Locked On Kings logo and the podcast up. You have no idea how much that means to me. Thank you so much for doing that. It is truly a blessing to be able to meet those of you who take the time to listen to me and listen to this podcast and invest their time in this podcast. It truly means the world, and I do not take that for granted. So thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every single one of the Kings fans that have done that, that I've met at the Golden 1 Center. And boy, last night was a fun night at the Golden 1 Center, was it not? We are going to break down this game. I have about a 4-minute highlight package to share with you all the great Kings highlights from this game presented by the G-Man, Gary Gerald, followed by my analysis, my takes, and all the stuff that I want to focus on, my takeaways, really, from that Kings win over the San Antonio Spurs. And then I have a chunk of a radio show that I did this morning. I appeared on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK is The Drive, with Kyle Madsen this morning, and we got the chance to speak with Grant Napier, who is also a KHDK radio host and the TV play-by-play voice of the Kings. So we had a great conversation with him about the Kings. I'll be playing that for you a little bit later on in the podcast. But for now, enjoy some of these highlights from last night's Sacramento Kings streak-breaking win over the San Antonio Spurs.
Here's White with a pass on top to DeRozan. Swings down to Cunningham. Cunningham with a pass in the pocket intended for Aldridge. Stolen by Iman Shumpert to Cauley-Stein. Right on the floor. Willie Cauley-Stein up gliding above the iron. That was fluid, smooth, and oh so effective after the Shumpert steal. Mason with a screen from Giles. Finds Harry. Straightaway 20-footer. Nice rhythm, and he hits it. Harry Giles knocks down the deuce. Well, Harry's got 4 points in his return to NBA action. Kings lead 30-28. Bogey into traffic, drops to Giles, reaches with the left hand. It settles in. Oh, and one of the Spurs has gone down. I think that's Bertans. who took, it appears, a shot in the head. Timeout has been called. 8.5 minutes to go here in quarter number two. Kings with six unanswered. Bogdanovich on the near wing. Chased now by Derek White. Sets up an alley-oop. Easy finish for Harry Giles. That was so smooth and so effective. What a setup pass from Bogey. And Harry Giles with the finish. So he's equaled his career rookie scoring high with 8 points. Frank Mason immediately back. Sets up the lob. Throw it down Marvin Bagley. How about that? Off a made basket, the Kings were up the floor and scored in like 2.5 seconds. That was stellar. Jumper straight away now, takes the inbounds, comes back to Fox, shakes left, goes right, hooks the pass back to Bielitsa, steps to his right, fires for three, scores the three. Belly, we mentioned, didn't shoot in the first half. He's taken two shots here in the second half and made them both from downtown. 64-62, Sacramento. Fox right wing, enters on the bounce to Cauley Stein. He's now working against Jakob Poeltl. Step back, 20-footer, Willie, no good. Tip Bagley, no good. Marvin gets it again, converts it, and he's fouled. A quick second leap that time by Marvin Bagley, doing a nice job on the low post left side of the lane. The natural left-hander missed the initial opportunity, stayed with it, got the second one, and drew the contact. Here's Bogey with a great setup. Oh, Bagley came from the left baseline, and initially I thought when Bogey lofted it toward the rim that he was trying to create a shot, and then there was this blur from the left baseline, and it was Marvin Bagley with a finish. He's in kind of a four-man diagonal line. They break the inbounds to Bogey. He's open, low post, and he scores. That's not supposed to happen against the San Antonio Spurs. How about a 20-point ball game for Bogdan Bogdanovic? 86-80. Kings with a 6-point lead. Here's a ball knocked away from DeMar DeRozan. It's grabbed by Bielitsa. He feeds it ahead to Shump. Hesitation move. Now drives. Kicks the pass cross court to Hield. Swings it out to Fox. Wide open for three. He's got the rainbow triple. 95-90. Boy, when your D muscles up and creates that turnover, good things can happen, and just did for Dave Yeager's Sacramento Kings. Aldridge wiggles right, frees up, 17-footer, bounces, doesn't go. Bielitsa has the rebound for Sacramento, leaves it for Fox, accelerates quickly into the front court to Belly. He's open, deep wing three, left side. He's got the triple, and the Kings fans exult and roar to their feet with an 8-point lead that equals their biggest of the ball game. LaMarcus Aldridge mishandles it, bobbles it, and it's knocked away. Fox with the steal. Kings with numbers. Lob ahead. To the rack, Willie Cauley-Stein. That could be the transition push of the year. It's a young season, but that was a thing of absolute beauty. The shot was made by Derek White, and now the final seconds tick away. For the first time since November of 2014, the Kings have defeated the San Antonio Spurs. A 14-game losing streak is in the past, and what a bounce-back win for the Sacramento Kings. Final is 104-99. Bogdan Bogdanovic leading the way, 25 minutes, the most he's played this season, scored 22 points. One of six men for Sacramento in double figures. So many guys with so many big contributions.
My thanks to the G-Man for all of his great work as always on the Kings broadcasts, and thank you to Sports 1140 KHDK for allowing us to use those highlights and that audio. Of course, thank you to the Sacramento Kings as well, but boy, was last night fun. The Kings were really the better team from start to finish. They controlled the lead and controlled the tempo for quite a while, and that is exactly what you wanted to see out of this Kings team, right? An exactly perfect bounce-back game. They addressed the two major issues that they suffered at the hands of the Los Angeles Lakers on Saturday night, which was shooting and scoring, and then taking care of the basketball. The Kings only scored 84 points against the Los Angeles Lakers, improved on that by 20 tonight, shooting or scoring 104 points on a strong night, shooting from the field, 50% from the field, 45% from three-point range, 11 of 24. Was a great bounce-back game for Buddy Hield, who had really the worst game of his young career shooting-wise against the Lakers. He went 5 of 13 for 14 points, including 2 of 5 from three-point range, also had a couple of steals. and 4 assists. De'Aaron Fox, fantastic once again, 19 points, 3 of 4 from 3-point range, 7 of 9 from the field. Also had 7 assists, 2 steals, and a blocked shot, believe it or not. De'Aaron Fox was all over the floor, and it's safe to say, I'm just going to come out and say it, De'Aaron Fox is a shooter now. He's not a knockout, lights-out shooter like a Steph Curry or a J.J. Redick or anything like that, but he has added the 3-point shot to his game, and the Spurs game last night is the first time that I have seen and noticed consistently the San Antonio Spurs defense have to honor his ability to shoot the 3-point shot. They couldn't give him that much space. They had to close out on him, and he was blown by defenders left and right when they would step out to try and get a hand in his face to guard the three. If De'Aaron Fox can add that 3-point shot consistently, I'm telling you what, man, he's going to be virtually unguardable, and he's already very tough to guard right now. How about the performance from Bogdan Bogdanović? 22 points, 9 of 17 shooting from the field, 3 of 7 from 3-point range off of the bench. Also had 3 assists. Bogdan Bogdanović had himself a breakout game, finally leading the Kings in scoring, which was great to see. And you'll notice the assist numbers up, the turnovers down, and that was a big thing from that Laker game. The Kings finished with just 11 assists and 19 turnovers in their loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. They addressed that and fixed that in a major way. 27 assists last night and only 13 turnovers. They also had 18 points off of 15 San Antonio turnovers, 20 fast break points as well. The Kings did a great job defensively down the stretch, withstanding the late push. I thought the Kings did fantastic against LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan all game long. LaMarcus Aldridge normally eats up the Kings. He only had 14 points. He did have 18 rebounds, though. 4 turnovers, minus 18 on the floor, which was a team worst last night. So LaMarcus Aldridge really struggled, couldn't get much going. DeMar DeRozan finished with a game-high and a team-high 23 points, but took 17 shots in order to get that. Kings, top to bottom, were the better team last night. And it was interesting to see, and I made a note of it on Twitter, that the Kings were in the lead for the majority of the game, a few lead changes in the beginning of the game and a few lead changes during the third quarter. But the Kings had about a 6-8-point lead, was cut down to 4 and then to 2 during the fourth quarter. And I tweeted out that, you know, the Kings had been in charge. The Kings had been in the lead and the better team for the majority of the game, for the first 40 to 45 minutes. But the final 3 minutes is where really good teams are able to flip that proverbial switch and close things out and win games. And I was wary that the San Antonio Spurs were going to be able to do that. Well, they certainly tried, but the Kings addressed that, especially on the defensive end. I thought Iman Shumpert, even though he only finished with 2 points, had a phenomenal game defensively against DeMar DeRozan. The Kings defensively, Willie Cauley-Stein did phenomenal against LaMarcus Aldridge, and so did Harry Giles. And I have to highlight Harry Giles here, because after he went to Stockton on Sunday and put up that 30-point performance to get his confidence boosted, he came back for the Kings, 12 points on 6 of 10 shooting, also 6 rebounds, an assist, a steal. And he was fantastic defensively against LaMarcus Aldridge. And it was head coach Dave Yeager that said as much after the game. I have a lot of post-game audio that I want to share and can share with you. I just do not have time to do it today because of this conversation that I had with Grant Napier. So I'm going to save all of that audio for tomorrow, because a lot of it doesn't just apply to last night's game. A lot of it applies to this season as a whole. Now, the Kings have 3 days off, before their next really quick road trip. It's literally 2 games in 2 days, another back-to-back for these Kings. They'll be in Memphis on Friday against the Grizzlies, then the Houston Rockets on Saturday, and then back here on Monday, a week from yesterday, for a matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So things not getting easier, but the fact that the Kings went 2-2 on this homestand is phenomenal. Bogdan Bogdanović said the goal was 3, but they're happy, certainly, with 2. Dave Yeager said it's exactly where they wanted to be, and gives them a lot of great confidence being 8-6, heading onto the road instead of being 7-7. But these Kings, man, they're playing so well, and it doesn't surprise me, and it didn't surprise anybody, really, that the Kings were able to be in that ball game and defend their home floor. I will say this, though. I will admit this. Being the optimist that I am, this might surprise some people. But I looked at this 4-game homestand, and I looked at the Spurs game to close out, and I thought, okay, that's the most unwinnable out of the four. Just because of the history of the Kings against the Spurs always tend to have the Kings' number, and it's at the end of a tough stretch. Well, it turns out the Raptors game was a tough loss, and then the Los Angeles Lakers game was easily the worst game they've played so far this season. So you're looking for the Kings to bounce back and do so in a major way against San Antonio, and boy, did they deliver. Last night was a lot of fun. Kings fans enjoyed a great team win from this young Sacramento Kings squad, and it certainly was fun to behold and be there, whether you watched the game inside the Golden 1 Center or whether you watched it at home. I don't think anybody on the planet can be frustrated, disappointed, or upset with anything that they saw from your Sacramento Kings last night. This morning on Sports 1140 KHDK's morning show, The Drive, I hosted with Kyle Madsen, and Kyle and I had the privilege of speaking with Sacramento Kings TV play-by-play analyst and our co-worker at Sports 1140 KHDK, that is Grant Napier. He had a lot of great things to say about the Sacramento Kings team. The conversation went so well, and I enjoyed it so much, I thought, you know what, I'll bring it here to the Locked On Kings podcast. So enjoy this conversation that Kyle and I had with Grant Napier on The Drive.
Thank goodness for the Kings, because if they weren't as fun and as exciting as they are, it'd be a pretty boring time in Northern California sports right now. I think they're the hottest thing going.
Yeah, they are. I mean, obviously, I think Warrior fans just wait now until the springtime because they know their team is going to be right there when the bell rings. And the regular season is kind of like a ho-hum deal. But, you know, the thing that's really I've noticed here in the last week or two, the Kings are being talked about all over the country now because of the exciting brand of basketball. Like, even after the game last night, it was great to just see on Twitter, you know, all the people that cover the NBA or don't cover the NBA but have followers in the hundreds of thousands that have kind of watched this team play from afar and go, wow, the Sacramento Kings are back. Wow, the Sacramento Kings are a really exciting team. So it's not just here in Sacramento. I think people are noticing this brand of basketball everywhere.
I wanted to get your take on this. They started 8-6, probably a better start than anyone really thought they would get off to. What's been the key for you? Like who has been better, or what's been better than we expected?
Well, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, start right there. I think really, other than Steph Curry, who right now is hurt, and Damian Lillard, who's playing better point guard in the NBA and in the Western Conference than De'Aaron Fox, and I would say nobody. I mean, he is literally playing at an all-star level right now, and that's been the biggest difference. This is a guard-oriented league now, and if you have a top-flight point guard, you have a chance to be pretty good, and he is already at age 20 turning into a top-flight point guard. I don't even think that's debatable, and I will tell you that even speaking last night before the game to Sean Elliott, the TV analyst for the Spurs, he was talking to me about the Kings, and he goes, man, how about De'Aaron Fox? And I said, yeah, and he said, you know, Becky Hammons, who scouts for us, said that she was blown away at his improvement this year. So, you know, and then you hear what Greg Popovich said after the game last night. You know, the culture. You know, we keep on talking about the culture. Well, when the Kings traded DeMarcus Cousins, that was the start of the culture change. And now you are seeing the result of 2 years of changing the culture of this franchise. And it's not, you know, you don't need me to tell you. You can see it with your own eyes. It's night and day.
Well, Grant, in order to be a successful successful point guard in today's NBA, you have to be a good three-point shooter. And that's been the element of De'Aaron's game that we all knew he had to work on this summer. And to me, his shooting stroke looks so good, so improved. And not just that, he's shooting it with such confidence, you would think that he's been a three-point shooter all of his life. What have you seen specifically with De'Aaron Fox with that outside shot that suggests, to me, honestly, I think he's added that three-point shot now consistently to his game. And now you're starting to see teams like San Antonio last night, they have to step out on him and they have to respect that because he's making them at over 40% clip.
Yeah, that's a great point. That has been a huge difference in this game. And we always said, you know, when De'Aaron becomes a good outside shooter, he will be unguardable. And you're starting to see that. You know, how do you guard the guy? He's too fast. If you have to go out and honor a shot, he goes right around you. His biggest weapon that he has is his speed. I mean, there's nobody that can keep up with him. And when he's making shots the way he has, you know, you said, what do I attribute that to? I mean, I know he spent pretty much the whole summer in the gym, most of that down in Southern California, and was, from what I understand, every day had a five-hour workout routine that included an immense amount of shooting. And you know what? It's just another example. De'Aaron Fox wants to be great. He doesn't want to just be good. He wants to be great. And he's got that drive, And now, again, we're talking about a 20-year-old playing at this level. It's remarkable. You make a good point. I mean, his three-point shot has completely turned around his game right now.
Continuing with De'Aaron Fox, and one of the things you said earlier when answering one of Kyle's questions, you talked about how everybody around the NBA is starting to take notice how much fun the Kings are. And De'Aaron said as much last night in his post-game press conference, but one of the things that I love that he said was, people are no longer treating the Kings like an easy win. Like they circle that on the calendar as a get-right game. People are starting to respect and understand when the Kings either come into your building or you have to go to theirs, it's going to be a tough test and a hard game for you to win and to close out. And I believe that's just the start, and you can tell this team has embraced that mentality.
Well, the Kings have played 14 games, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I believe 10 of the coaches on the other team have complimented Sacramento. And, you know, coaches aren't afraid to compliment other teams, but it's not, you know, this is different. I mean, just about everywhere we go, the entire East Coast trip that the Kings started in Miami, after the game, Eric Spoelstra complimenting the team. Before the Orlando game, you know, Steve Clifford absolutely complimenting the team and how they play. In Atlanta, the same thing. Everywhere the Kings have gone, and now, you know, when you get a guy like Greg Popovich complimenting the team, it's spreading. People know this is not just a fluke. You know, I saw a tweet by, you know, Mark Spear, not a tweet, but in the power rankings on ESPN, you know, he mentioned the same thing. You know, these are not the same old Kings anymore, basically. You can, if you think that you're just going to come into Sacramento or you're going to play the Kings and like, oh, okay, we can take the foot off the gas pedal because we're going to win. It's not like that anymore. You know, you can't do that against this team. This team is, I said this after the Miami game on TV when the Kings beat the Heat. And I said on the postgame show to Jim and Jerry, I said, I'm going to. And here we are a couple weeks later, and I'm still going to say this. The Kings are a good team. Their biggest problem may be they're in the West, but they're a good team. They're going to, if they stay healthy, they're going to win a lot of games. I'll tell you this. There are a lot of people in this community that didn't think the Kings would have 8 wins before the first of the year, and now they're 8-6.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with, because when I watch the Kings, one of the things that stands out to me is the depth they have. It seems like every five guys they have on the floor, everybody on the court is going to contribute in some way. Is that something that the Kings have gone out of their way to fix? Is the depth and is this this to me at least is the deepest the Kings have been in a long time?
Yeah, they have. They completely overhauled the roster to get a number one culture guys and number two perimeter shooting. You know, that's why they picked up Bielitsa. That's why they picked up Yogi Ferrell. You talked already about De'Aaron Fox. I mean, look at what Bogdanovich has meant to this team in his return and how well he played last night. I mean, envision the rest of this season. Again, knock on wood, if everyone stays relatively healthy, you could see how he sets up, you know, the Harry Giles, how he sets up Marvin Bagley. Those guys are going to flourish around Bogdan, but Vlade went out and got an unbelievably athletic team. He had a vision of having, okay, we now have a point guard that no one's going to be able to keep up with, but it doesn't do any good to have a point guard that can run up and down the court and not have guys that can run with him. So everything that they've done for the most part has been get guys that can play that style of basketball, that are thoroughbreds, that can run up and down with De'Aaron Fox, and so far so good. That's exactly what we're seeing.
How impressed are you with the tenacity and the lack of quit in Harry Giles, who struggled early on out of the gate, goes to Stockton, does what he's supposed to do, putting up 30 points, looking like the best player on the floor in the G League, comes back the very next night, gets minutes against a very good San Antonio Spurs team and makes an impact, career-high 12 points, 6 rebounds. Dave Yeager praised his defense on LaMarcus Aldridge last night. How impressed are you with just the work ethic of Harry Giles and always seemingly being ready to go?
Well, last night, for the first time at home, I always go into the locker room on the road after the game, but last night was the first time I waited for the locker room to open because I wanted to go in and give Harry a hug, and that's exactly what I did because I feel so good for the guy. I'm so happy for him because I know what he's been through with his ACL injuries and his 2 years of rehab and getting back to this point and then having it start off slowly this year, which it did, and then accepting the fact that, okay, you know what? All right, I'm going to get my game together. I'm going to go to Stockton. And then to turn around in 24 hours and do what he did last night. And I went up to him last night and I said, hey, man, this is only the beginning, because I really believe that for him. What we saw last night is only the beginning for him. I thought it was phenomenal. It was incredible. And I'll tell you the other thing that really stuck out to me last night, and I said this after the game with Doug. The thing that impressed me more than anything last night, okay, more than De'Aaron, more than Bogdan, more than Harry, the thing that really stuck out to me was how the Kings played defense in the final 5 minutes of that game last night. Yeah. That was some big-time half-court defense against a 7-4 team. That was what really impressed me last night about the Sacramento Kings. You cannot just ignore that. That was really, really impressive.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier. The next stretch of games are at Memphis, at Houston. They have games in Utah and Golden State, but then they're home for Oklahoma City, home against Utah. They're home against the Clippers. Have we reached a point where when you look at a seven-game stretch like that, you're looking at 3 or 4 wins?
Not yet, and I think it's a great question, because I had this question last night asked to me by somebody else. Because somebody asked me about the playoffs. I go, I'm not going there. I'm not going to the playoffs until you get to 2019. It's way too early. I'm not looking that far ahead right now. You just talked about a brutal, brutal stretch starting in Memphis. And even though they lost last night, they have some unbelievable wins this year against really good teams. But you talked about Utah. You talked about Golden State. Look at what the Clippers have done and look where they're at right now. So I'm hoping you're right. You know, I'll tell you right now, I would take 3 or 4 wins in that stretch if you told me I could get that without even playing any of those games. This is a daunt. We said this at the beginning of the month. If the Kings can get through November and still be standing, they've got a chance to have a really, really good December, barring injury. This is a brutal month for the Sacramento Kings. And so far, they're hanging in there, and they're still 2 games above 500. But that stretch you just mentioned is going to be a real barometer, a real good indicator of exactly how far the Sacramento Kings have come.
I know you're not ready to say playoffs with this team, and rightfully so. I don't think anybody should, except for maybe the players themselves. Bogdan Bogdanovic said last night that this team genuinely believes they are playoff bound, or they can compete at a playoff level, and that was their motivation heading into this season. And that's what you want to hear, Grant, from your team, right? Even if they're young, even if they're trying to figure things out, you want them to believe that they can overachieve and surprise everybody and shock the world.
I was with Nemanja Bjelica in Denver. So, I mean, that's all, we're going back pretty far now, okay? And we were talking about, we were with a group of people, and somebody said, boy, could you imagine this team with Zach LaVine? And I can't remember how the conversation went, but I made a comment of, well, I'll tell you this, you know, you probably wouldn't be here right now, you know, because let's be honest, if they had signed Zach LaVine, I don't know if they would have had money to sign them. And then I said, but this team probably would have been a surefire playoff team. And Nemanja goes, we are still a playoff team, you know, like, or something to that magnitude. And I smiled because I just love the fact that here's a guy that's 30 years old, you know, he's a veteran, and he sees the potential in this team. This was, you know, what, two weeks ago or more. So, you know, again, I really like the vibe in the team. You guys just referenced what De'Aaron Fox said last night. The Kings aren't sneaking up on anybody anymore. Everyone around the league now understands this is a different team. This is a team with a top-flight point guard, with guys that can just sprint and run up and down the floor. And here's another thing that people need to realize. The Kings are only going to get better because Marvin Bagley is going to continue to get better. We saw Harry Giles last night. You know, this team is still new in terms of playing with one another. When they figure it all out with Bogdan and the way he sets up his teammates, this team should be getting better. They should not be going south. They should be going north. So, again, you know, I'm holding my breath somewhat, but this team has a chance to be pretty darn special this year.
And that will conclude another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, we have 3 straight days now, the remainder of this week, without Kings basketball, except for on Friday. So I'm working on getting you some good guests and some great stuff to fill that time. We are approaching 500 episodes here of the Locked On Kings podcast, and I'm so thankful for each and every single one, including the many that Jason Ross did when he started this podcast and hosted this Locked On Kings podcast, which was now almost a year ago, which is crazy to think about, but it has been a a fun ride for me this last year taking over this podcast. I'm excited to do a 500th episode celebration here coming up in the very near future. You can look forward to that. You can also look forward to tomorrow. Like I said earlier, I have a lot of sound for you, a lot of great comments and stuff from the Sacramento Kings last night following their win. Everybody was in high spirits, and they said a lot of great things about the confidence of this team and potential playoff implications. So I'm going to be playing all of that for you. It's going to be a sound dump playoff day coming up next on the Locked On Kings podcast tomorrow. And again, working on some more guests and great content for you later on in the week. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, get involved with the show at all times at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Share the podcast with your friends, fellow Kings fans, if you know them, and they're looking for a podcast hub. That's the best way you can help us out, and I appreciate all the help and all the sharing that so many of you have already done so far this young season. You guys are the best. I will talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.